God's word for us this morning comes to us from the Gospel reading according to St. Matthew. And in today's reading, we hear a confession by a crowd, and we read how, as Jesus drew near, it caused a great stir in the city. And so also with us, as Jesus comes near our lives, as he draws near to us, he stirs us up, and we too make a confession. Let us pray. Father, as the words go out from my mouth and are received by your people, let them go out truthfully and be received in such a way that your name would be glorified so that our joy might become full. Amen. Please be seated. Every one of us have experienced someone that we now consider significant in our lives to enter our lives at some stage, be it a spouse, a child, a sibling, a friend. Your life seems fairly worked out. Your current situation is fairly stable. You have a relative amount of safety in your immediate surroundings. Your time is yours to manage as you please. Your space is yours to do with what you want. Your stuff is yours to do with as you wish. Then enters someone significant into your life. Maybe it's your future spouse who just came on the scene. Maybe a little human shows up in those initial scans. Maybe potential lifelong friends invade your private coffee time and your downtime. And all of a sudden, the realization sets in that this could be someone significant. This is something significant. And that significant people change lives significantly. Your time will no longer belong to you. Your space will no longer be yours alone. Your stuff might actually have to be shared. Your income will be directed towards things that maybe you haven't previously planned for. And all of a sudden, your life seems somewhat uncertain, and feelings of turmoil of some description might start to stir inside as your life is about to change significantly. This sort of experience is what the people of Jerusalem have in our reading today. People living their everyday lives in the capital, the wall surrounding temple containing capital of Israel. They have their safety. They have their routines. They have their very familiar lives. And then something significant happens. Jesus draws near. And what is heard loudly and clearly and repetitively is that he is the true king in the line of David, that he is the one coming in the name of the Lord. What does that mean? What would this mean to the people of the city personally and for the whole city collectively? This could change everything. It could change everything politically, on a religious front, worship-wise. What does this mean concerning their relationship with the state politically? Are they going to be rescued? Will they finally have freedom from these Roman overlords? Will they have their own king again? What does this mean concerning their relationship with the religious leaders? What does this mean for worship at the temple? And if there is a concern regarding their worship at the temple, even more importantly then, what does this mean for their relationship and worship with and of their God? Will Jesus be honored as a true prophet? If this Jesus is who they claim he is, everything is affected. Either this Jesus is who the crowd claims him to be, or he isn't. The question arises then, what do they believe about him? Well, Matthew actually doesn't tell us. So either way, it seems to have the crowd exuberant in their praise, and the onlookers stirred up. Something significant is going on, and life is not going to be the same. The one thing we do know about the people of the city is that they ask one question. They ask this question, who is this? Who is this Jesus? And this question is the central question of the gospel itself. We cannot tell what the motives behind the crowd's behavior might have been. In fact, Matthew seems deliberately ambiguous. What we do know, however, is that the city's reaction was in a response to what the crowd confessed, that Jesus is the Son of David. He is the one coming in the name of the Lord. And they recognize him as one who could rescue them. This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. The crowd's confession, however, would fall silent when Jesus was opposed, when Jesus was betrayed, arrested, and condemned to death. The prophet from Nazareth in Galilee did not seem to triumph. As he was opposed by the political powers and by the religious authorities, the crowd seemed to have changed their tune. However, it is by the same path of betrayal and rejection, the same path of condemnation and death, this path that leads to the silencing of the crowd's confession, through which Jesus accomplished the ultimate triumph for us and for our salvation. And it is this that gives rise and voice to our confession about who this Jesus is. At one stage or another, Jesus drew near to each one of us. At some stage, he was that significant one who entered our lives, and for us also, it caused a great stir to some extent of some kind as we wondered what this would mean for our lives. Personally, maybe for our family, maybe with friends, maybe in our workplace. And maybe it still does. And for us, the question also is, who is this Jesus? In our reading, he may have been written off as merely a prophet from that insignificant Nazareth in that problematic Galilee. And the crowd might not have known exactly what or why they were exclaiming that which they were confessing while crying out aloud. And their confession may have been silenced, for they have not seen the rest of this week that we're about to have yet. But in hindsight, we do. And so it is with confidence that we can confess, and with a genuine hope that we make our confession. A confession we have received not from a random crowd, but from Jesus' closest followers. A confession not made with a degree of uncertainty regarding Jesus' path ahead, but with a confidence based on knowing what that path led to. The path of betrayal and suffering and death. Also the path of resurrection and life and hope. And so we do sing the same song as the crowd that day, but we sing it with a post-resurrection hope and a comfort as we prepare to receive him once again in the holy meal whenever we come forward for communion. And we hear those words as we sing it, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth is full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Also confessing the creed that Jesus comes to us in the name of the Lord. He is the only Son of the Father, our Lord. That Jesus is coming to rescue. He suffered, he died, he was buried, he descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. Confess that Jesus is the Son of David. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, as true King of all. This is Jesus. And when we hear the confession of those around us as we prepare to receive him in bread and wine, and as we join in the creed Instead of turmoil, we will find hope. And as we continue to confess our unending song of faith, when Christ comes to us, Jesus continues to stir things up to us personally. He continues to stir things up to us collectively as His church, as His bride. And He also stirs things up in those outside of our community who hear our confession. And may the question that comes to us all, the question of who is Jesus to me, who is Jesus to us, always lead to the confession that He is rescuer, true King, and Lord of all. Amen.